Okay, let's, if you have your Bibles, it's Psalm 55, 22. Let's turn there. Let's stand. Just read one verse as we prepare. What to do with your lot in life? What to do with your lot in life? Okay, Psalm 55, 22. Let's read together. Psalm 55, 22. Ready? Psalm 55, 22. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening as we come into your presence to hear your precious word. Lord, thy word tells us to cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Father, this is a promise embedded in Scripture. And I pray, Lord, for those who have seen this for the first time, that, Lord, the truth will be embedded not only in our mind, but in our soul. Oh, Father, how you want us as Christians to live in this world with confidence and Lord, with absolute trust in a God that will not allow his children to be moved. We thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in this short devotion, as we prepare our hearts also, Lord, for the awesome remembrance of what you have done for us at Calvary. Lord, the absolute holiness manifested, but yet absolute love. And that, Father, it will touch our hearts, that it will change us from inside. Lord, if there's one sin, if there's one thing that we need to surrender, may Calvary be the reason that we give it up because of our love for you. After you have first loved us. Thank you for what you're going to do. Speak, Lord. We pray for thy Holy Spirit to fill this place, fill our hearts, our minds, that as we receive your word, Lord, you will have preeminence. You will be the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. I don't know, some of you may be wondering what do you mean by what to do with your lot in life, okay, L-O-T, lot. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. In the Hebrew word burden, it has this idea. The idea that anything that happens in your life, God allowed it to happen. Anything that you are carrying now, the life and direction of your or life and living right now, it is God who have permitted it at this point of time. Does it make sense? Okay. Whatever in your life, God brings it into your life. God has already full knowledge of everything that's happened in everyone. You are born in the family that you are born in. You are in this church for a purpose. In the direction that you are going, God knows everything. Would you agree with that? God is omniscient. He knows everything. We make the decisions, but yet God oversees and ensures that that is a thing that actually happens to you according to His will. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, 13, a wonderful verse. I pray that it will be an encouragement. Jeremiah 29, Book of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Let's read together, right? It's a wonderful verse. Memorize it if you can. Ready? 1, 2, go. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, I know, I perceive, I have fully comprehended, I've planned, I know the entirety, in totality, the plan I have for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. We need to understand this. The plan that God has for us is only for our good. Never in our mind should we even entertain the thought that God has something evil for us. Because the Bible is clear. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. The word evil has to do with things that will destroy you, things that will be bad for you, to give you an expected end. The word expected end has the idea of a future. He has the idea of a future, okay? So, I'll say the next thing in the introduction. Nothing in our life is a mistake. Whoa, you need to really lift up our sights to what you see in our life, to the heavenlies. Nothing in our life is a mistake. To us, it may seem a mistake, but nothing in our life is a mistake. And you know, the lot, different people have different lots in life, okay? For our Filipino brethren, their lot is that they were born in the Philippines, right? For us Singaporeans, we are born in Singapore. For some of us, some may have come from Malaysia, like my wife and some of the other people, they have come from Malaysia. But you know, we all converge at this point of time here in Singapore. Your direction, your lot, God has purpose as you trust Him, as you make decisions. God has, no matter how bad your background is, that is the lot that God has given to you. Okay? If I give Agnes this pen, and if I give Sean a Schaefer pen, okay, that's why he's not here. He don't have. That is his lot in life. He has a Schaefer pen. For Agnes, it's that particular pen. You can return to me if you want, or you want to use it. Okay. If you're born in a poor family, that is God's lot in your life. If you're born in a very rich family, that's God's lot in your life. If you're born with a good background, whatever it is, that's God's lot. God allotted you that. Sometimes we cannot see that, but our Sovereign Father, our Heavenly Father, will not make any mistakes with our life. I hope we can start from that as a believer in Christ. Okay? We'll start from that because sometimes the Lord in our life can be a blessing. Sometimes it can be a burden. Okay? That is where Psalm 5522 come in. When it's a blessing, it's easy for us to carry. But when it becomes a burden, that's when David says, cast your lot, cast your burden, cast the cross that you have to carry, cast the lot in life that you have to... All of us have difficulties in our lots. We have decisions we need to make that are tough. That is the purpose of this verse. Cast your lot, cast your burden, the thing that you carry that God has permitted us to carry, cast that onto the Lord. And that is an important one. This is a promise of this verse. There is nothing you have in your life allowed by God that you cannot give back to the Lord. You know, the encouragement is when we go through things in life and we have this mindset, God, you allow this, whether it's good or bad, it is you who has given to me. But you know what God says? Throw it back to me. I want to work with you so that your lot in life can be a blessing. Okay? What can we do with our lot in life? Based on this verse, three things. Number one, what the Lord places on you, you can cast it onto Him. You can cast it back onto Him. Let's turn to a few verses, right? Maybe Sean, you can tell 1 Peter 5:7. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Then your sister Agnes, you can turn to Philippians 4:6. I think all these verses we know. Just basically God in the Bible shifts, use different phrases just to highlight the same idea. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Be not full of care for anything. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and the attitude is important. Our prayer needs to always be with thanksgiving. When your lot in life becomes a burden, you need to be thankful for the fact that God allowed you to go through that, because that is the best plan for you, for us. Brother Johnny, it's hard. Yes, I know. Yet it is the best plan that God places on us. Does that make sense? Because our Sovereign God knows exactly how much weight we can bear, and He places that weight on us. Amen? He has absolute, He is omniscient, omniscient man, He has perfect knowledge about everything. Meaning that, okay, if Mrs. Shaolin can only take 100 kilograms, let's say, and of trial, that's about 100 kilograms, and God will measure it properly, and that's the burden you carry. All right, for maybe Azel, he can take how many? 50 kilograms? That's the amount that God is going to place on him for his life. And you know what? You can be sure that as you feel, sometimes for the 150 kilograms you feel it's difficult, God says, throw it back to me. I'll work it out with you. And that's an encouraging thing, because there is nothing that God puts us through that He doesn't actually walk with us. Alright, we can cast it back to Him. Okay? Point number two, what the Lord places on you, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. What the Lord places on you, He will sustain you. The word sustain has multiple angles of sustenance. The word sustain can mean a multitude of things. Okay, so there are a few things here. Maybe, okay, Brother Tay Leong, you can turn to Philippians 4:19. Oh, okay. So, Elizabeth, maybe you can assist. Philippians 4:19. Brother Hao En, if you can turn to Philippians 4:13. Maybe Auntie Mary, if you can take James 1:5. And Curly, if you can turn 2 Corinthians 12:9. Okay? God, what the Lord places on you, He will sustain you. He will sustain you, Philippians 4:19. You want to read that? He will sustain you with necessary provisions physically. He will supply you the necessary provisions physically. In other words, whatever you need, you can be sure He will sustain you. He will sustain you. And then Philippians 4:13. He will sustain you with the necessary strength you need. Now this is an important verse. Many people feel that this verse is for ministry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's true. In the context of Philippians 4, remember, Paul was talking about contentment. He's talking about going through the trials and being able to go through the trials. You know, so how many of you have gone through a difficult time and you really struggle to go through it with a good attitude? You really struggle to even try and understand, God, how in the world am I going to come out of this? Sometimes we just cannot have the peace of mind, peace of heart as we go through this. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. In other words, if I'm discontented, I can be contented through Christ who strengtheneth me. In other words, if I feel discouraged, I can be encouraged through Christ who strengtheneth me. In other words, through the trials, God is able to give you the strength to overcome. Christian, there is no excuse for any Christian to give up. I'm not saying you cannot feel tired. I'm not saying, but you know what? To give up the faith is exactly what Satan wants. But you know, the Bible says that God will give us the necessary strength to help us carry things through. Okay? God will give us the necessary strength to carry things with the necessary. He will sustain us with the strength. James 1:5. God will sustain you with all the necessary wisdom you need in all the decisions in life. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, that's actually a conditional clause. If you feel that you cannot manage in the trial, remember James chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, you've been memorizing, right? What is the context? What's verse 2? James 1, verse 2. Come, youth. The youth have been memorizing the book of James. Come on. My brethren, can we all join before in the diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of faith worketh patience, let patience have a perfect work. He may be perfect entire, wanting nothing. And then, if any of you lack wisdom, If you go through trials, you do not know what to do. God says, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. That's a promise. If you really ask God for wisdom in your decision, God says, I'm going to give you freely. Just like he gave Solomon. And upbraideth not. God's not going to scold you for asking for wisdom. That's what it means. If you ask for wisdom, God's pleased. If you really ask for wisdom with a fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, God will be absolutely pleased with that, all right? And God says, I will sustain you with all necessary wisdom. In other words, there is no situation in your life that you cannot have God's wisdom on it. You know how? Let me ask you a question. How do you seek God for wisdom? What do you mean by seek God for wisdom? You know what it means to seek God for wisdom? It means that in your mind you're very clear what is the problem you have. And then you search the pages of Scripture for the answer. You don't go to the internet, unless it's filled with Scripture. You don't go to, sometimes, well, I'm not saying you don't have counsel, but you know what? You know what it means to search the Scriptures? George Mueller, a man of God, I think we all know, meditates on the Word of God 4 times a year, the entire Genesis to Revelation. And he would find God's will by reading the Scriptures again and again, and letting the Holy Spirit work in his heart. And he will write his answers to his questions from where he gets the passages from. Okay? As God moves in his heart. Many of us have a high tendency to use our intellect. There's nothing wrong with using our mind. But you know what? The foundation must be the Word of God. No matter what decisions you make. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. If Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and we seek wisdom by our own thoughts, we are barking up a wrong tree. Does it make sense? We need to pray and we need to read the Scriptures. For God to... Sometimes God may use a story from Joshua to impress us upon certain things we need to do. Sometimes God may use Daniel. Sometimes God may use the life of Christ as we read. You know, when God speaks to you, you can see the immediate link. Amen? How many of you have had that experience before? When you read the Scriptures and you realize, hey, that's me. That's me. That's what God wants us to do. God will sustain us with the necessary wisdom. But Brother Johnny, sometimes I search, I don't find. And that's where Isaiah 40:31 comes. What does Isaiah 40:31 tells us? We need to wait on the Lord. If we don't find the answers, people will say, kanchong spider, have to do something. You know, Singaporeans have to do something. No, sometimes God wants us to just wait. One evangelist in America said this. He was preaching something and he says, as Christians, we need to have the attitude, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. But you know, he actually says, sometimes we need to tell God, I'll stay where he wants me to stay, dear Lord. We always want to get out of our situations where God says, no, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their lot is to stay in the furnace. But you know what God does? He comes in with them. And he gives us the necessary wisdom, all right, to sustain us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God will sustain us with the necessary grace. What is grace? What is grace? On Sunday, we'll be touching a little bit on the strength that God gives to us, but grace has to come in when we've come to the limit of what we have. Humanly, many of us can reach our breaking point. Would you agree with that? And sometimes we depend on ourselves from the start. And we think we can go very far. You know, when we start from the point, God, don't worry, I can handle it. God actually steps and says, okay, you go ahead. You know what we need to do? God, you lead me from the beginning. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. I think a good example is when you're trying to teach a young child something. Have you ever taught children certain things and they say, I know this part one. And then they start going down a different tangent already, thinking that they know. And then they say, no, don't worry, I know one, don't worry, I know one. And then after that, they went to a point they got stuck, and then, can we go back there again? Let's start there again. Some of you are smiling, so you probably know what I mean. You know, God wants us to start from step one, so that we get it right the first time. God will give the grace. You know, sometimes in our trials, the lot in our lives, say, God, it is just hard to bear. Paul, I think we all know, had a lot in his life. And what's his lot? He had a thorn in his flesh. And God told him this, my grace is enough for you. In Chinese, it means 我的恩典足够你用. Enough for you. That means you can never expand God's grace. Did you know that? God's grace is limitless. You cannot expand God's grace. If you need some more, it's there. 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 It's always there. God's grace, my grace is sufficient, is enough. Christians, do we trust that? That's why Paul goes on to say, God says, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, then my strengths become perfect just for you. Because that's what the Bible says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, when we find this church cannot grow and say, God, we need your help, God says, my strength will come. When we would humble ourselves as a church and say, God, we cannot, Lord, there's a convict, or rather the next convict who needs help. Lord, we do not know how to, God, we need your help. God's Holy Spirit comes and would fill whoever who is willing to take that on that person. Because sometimes there's so many things, you know, there are multiple things. I think as a pastor, I can say I have many things, but I know everyone who are head of families, you got to think of this and that, you got to manage so many things. I'm not saying pastoral duties is the only burden in life. All of us have our lot in life that we have to manage. I don't underestimate that, but I can say this from the scriptures, God's grace is enough for you to use. And the moment you feel weak and cry out to God, God says, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. That's why Paul goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I can't do it. You know, I think I was with one of the missionaries one time, and he walks with a limp, and he said, well, for me, I'm quite sympathetic, because when he was walking and it's cold, and I said, it must be very painful for you, you know. He said, no, don't worry. I use it as a thermostat or something, a thermometer. I know the cold weather's coming. You know, and I thank God that God gives me the strength to keep going. I think many missionaries, many people who serve God do serve with infirmities, but you know what? They use that as a blessing in their lives. God's grace is enough. Christians, do you believe God will sustain you in your situation? Lift up your eyes to God, okay? And He will sustain you. And the third point, in Psalm 55, verse 20, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What the Lord places on you, He will make you stand. Say again, God will make you successful and stand in the lot that He has given to you, because the Bible says He will not allow you to be moved. I shift to this side. Maybe Edward, you can turn to Psalm 37, verse 24. Jaira, you turn to Psalm 62, verse 2. It's Jamie. Okay, never mind. We'll all turn to Psalm 121. All right? Psalm 37, verse 22. Psalm 23 and 24. 37, verse 23 and 24, sorry. Okay, Psalm 62, verse 2. The Bible says, God will not suffer the righteous to be moved. The word move doesn't mean we will not tremble at storms coming. It doesn't mean that sometimes we will fall. It doesn't mean that we will not be afraid. It doesn't mean that we will not be so stressed about it. But God says in a final analysis, just like a tree that will bend with the storms, it will still stay. Why? Because God says, I will not, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God is the one who's going to hold the root. God's the one who's going to hold the root. I know the storms can come into your life, you know, the typhoon can come. But you know, you come back again. Why? God says, I will not allow the righteous to be moved. I will not allow you to be moved. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not what? Be utterly cast down. There are some Christians who have fallen, but you genuinely God's. God's not going to let you go. He will let you stand in your lot. That's a blessing. God only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. All right, yeah. The indication is there will be some movement, but I'm not going to move. Christians, have you moved? Or have you known of someone who have moved in a lack of faith in trusting God? Can you visually, spiritually see some of our Christian friends who may have trusted God, but right now they're moving? Well, if they're genuinely Christians, God's going to bring them back. Because God says, I will be faithful to myself. If you are going through a lot in your Christian life and you're finding you're moving, God says, I'm not going to allow you to move. Because your lot in life is permitted by me. As you cast your lot to me, I will sustain you. I will never allow the righteous to be moved. Okay, Psalm 121, I love this. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Notice who is making us stand? The one, the creator of heaven and earth, the all-powerful one. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Why? He that keepeth thee will not slumber. When you are worried sick to the point you cannot sleep, and then God stays right up with you. And when you're so stressed that you faint, God stays awake. God handles your problem. Did you know that God actually carries us? As much as, example, when children are concerned about their exams, guess who's more concerned? Parents. Okay? When our children is sick, this whole week is like 5 out of 6 down. Isn't Jeremiah having a good time? No, at least he's not. He's tired, but no, he's not sick. But myself, you know, all 5 of us are still down. But you know what? When we are down, God's still up. Amen? He will not slumber nor sleep. The Bible says, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Christians, memorize Psalm 121. At a time in your lowest, read it out. I memorized this psalm about 20 years ago. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. When you are falling down, lift up. God doesn't move from his position. He is always strong. He will not allow us to be moved. Let's turn to John chapter 10, verse 29. John 10, 29. We'll be finishing soon. John 10, 29. John 10, 29, the Bible says, you know why we cannot be moved? I like this verse. Let's read together, right? John 10, 29. Ready? 1, 2, go. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. God says what? You are in the palm of my hand. And no one in this universe, Satan included, can wrench us out from his hand. Yes, we will go through, your lot in life sometimes will be filled with tears. Your lot in life can be difficult. Your lot in life can be a blessing to bless others. Yeah, some Christians live to bless others because God has blessed them so much. And we are thankful for those Christians that God has put in every church to bless others with giving, with their service. But I know some members in the church may really have to go through the grind day in, day out. You know, God puts us all together to support one another. Amen. So that our lot in life, our journey in life can be made easier. That's a blessing of the local church. But you know, God says, even when everyone leaves you, no one can take you out of my hand. Because why? We are in the palm of God's hand. No one shall be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Christians, that's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. So what do we do? They got 3 things, right? We need to pray more. Cast that burden upon the Lord. When I was in Bangkok, one of the things I did was I read how to pray. And God just said, Johnny, your prayer life, you need to start. You need to work at it. But one of the things I learned is sometimes we depend so much on our intellect, our ways of dealing with things, that it could be all God wants us to do. I just want you to pray. I just want you to put away what you think. Just come to me and pray. Seek my face. Just seek my face. We have come, I think there's a phrase, I can't remember what, but you know, he says that the early church, the modern church today, does a lot of organizing. The modern church today, but the early church does a lot of agonizing in prayer. You know, we do a lot of organization, we try to set things up. The early church agonized before God in prayer. And you know what? They got answers all the time. We need to go back to old-fashioned dependence on God, both individually and as a church. And hopefully our prayer meetings will revolutionize, and just pray for me, and we discuss with the men how we need to move on, because, you know, Friday nights, it's a time that as a church we pray together. It's a powerhouse. And I was reading another book, and please pray also, because he says, no sense organizing everything if your Friday nights. You know what? One of the pastors actually wrote on prayer, he says, Friday night need to be filled. Because without the amount we achieve in our VBS, in our youth, in our seminar, in our Sunday service, in our follow-up, is dependent on how strong our Friday night prayer meetings are. Because if the powerhouse generator is not working, we can forget about all the other things in the local church. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It is a high priority for us to see the blessings of God, to pray, both individually and as a church. If we ever want to see God's blessing, we need to pray more. Number two, we need to trust more. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. We need to trust more. We need to trust that God will give us grace. We need to trust that God will give us wisdom. And then the third one is, we can be confident that no matter what my situation is, when I'm willing to submit to the Lord's will, God will not allow me to be moved. These are the three applications. Maybe in your prayer life, if you pray 20 minutes a day, maybe up it by 5 more minutes. You know, just small increments. Or if you don't have a prayer life, start one. I sometimes pray with someone else. We need to pray more. Okay, make a commitment to Friday night to pray. To come and pray. We need to trust more. In other words, short of always planning, start saying, okay, I'm not going to plan first. I'm going to pray first, then I plan. Some practical steps. Say, Lord, I have a situation. Lord, give me wisdom now as I think through the issues. Lord, you know this. Help me, Lord. And then you go and plan. Just like Nehemiah, remember? When the king asked him, what do you want? Straight away, he showed up a prayer to heaven. Then he asked the king in confidence. And then whatever situation or Lord in your life, learn to submit to the Lord. And God says, in your situation, I will not allow you to be moved. All right? Any thoughts and questions? Any questions? So what do you do with your Lord in life? Cast it on him. God will sustain you. And God will ensure you won't be moved. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we close. You're all thinking, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I'm sure many people are just reflecting, Lord, on your precious word. Father, your word is like dew, fresh. Your precious word encourages us when our soul is dry. The refreshing from heaven comes in as we realize, Lord, you ask us to cast our burdens on you. The lot that you have placed in our life, we can throw it back to you. And Father, we are mightily encouraged because you say that you will not allow us to be moved and you will sustain us with everything necessary. The four things I mentioned, Lord, strength, grace, physical needs, are merely, Father, a drop in the ocean because there are thousands of needs in our lives. But God, you, in that word, I will sustain you, encompass every single need that we ever need. Because you're a God that knows everything about us. And Father, we thank you for the refreshment tonight. If Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Can I just ask, has the Lord spoken to us in some area? I just feel the need to just share this and may pass to pray. There's someone say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me. And I need to learn to trust God more. I need to pray more. I need to just lift up my Lord to God and let Him handle it. Is there someone like that? They put a right hand, I'll pray for you that God will. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone? I see that hand too. Amen. Is there anyone else? For those who have put up your hand, put it before the Lord, Lord, at the throne of grace. Say, God, my Lord in life is this. There are certain things I'm still not too sure. God, I want you to be in charge. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the two brethren that put up their hands. I do not know what the need is, but Lord, you know. You know that need. Whether it's for a change of life, a change of things in their lives, Lord, or just a need for sustenance. And I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, will give grace and strength and submission and have a heart of thankfulness for whatever that's happened. So that God, they can accept what you are giving to them and then take the next step of faith. And Father, may us as Christians, we will have the same attitude of encouragement, knowing, Father, you have your plan. Now job is to submit to that plan. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, even as we just spend the next few moments just going into some private personal prayer as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. Lord, I pray that you will guide us. With your eyes still closed and heads still bowed, we just spend a few moments in silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. This prayer could be confession, it could be just bringing some burdens before the Lord. Then after our prayer, then we'll read the church covenant and have a Lord's Supper. All right, let's spend a few moments in silent prayer ourselves. Father, thank you for this time that we can pray, both individually and now corporately as a church. Lord, as we move into the Lord's Supper, we thank you for the remembrance feast that you have put in the scriptures that thy church, Lord, will follow. Father, we thank you for the Lord's Supper. We thank you for the body that was bruised and broken, the blood that was shed so that our sins can be washed away. We thank you, Lord, at Calvary. You did it all for us, Lord. All we need to do is by faith trust you. Father, now we come before you individually, as an individually, Father, confessing our sins. That, Father, those areas that we should have done and not done, we ask you, cleanse us, forgive us. Those areas that we didn't do, Lord, but should have done, we pray that you cleanse us from that as well. Individually, Lord, we pray you accept, Father, our confession as we throw ourselves, Lord, at your mercy. We thank you for the promise that when we confess our sins, you will forgive and cleanse us from unrighteousness so that we might be holy and just before you again. We pray also corporately as a church. Lord, many times, there are many things we should have done. Father, we ask your patience and your long-suffering towards us. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us many times for our tardiness. We ask you to strengthen and make our feet swift, Lord, in following you. That we will honor you, the things we need to do. Oh Lord, we pray. You help us never to forget it is you who called us to be together as one, as a local church. And Father, we need to be as one man. Yeah, we are weak, Father. We are sometimes, many times, we stumble and fall. But yet your Holy Spirit will not allow your work to be fallen by the wayside. We've seen, Lord, souls coming to Christ recently and blessings, Lord, that you are pouring to our church. We souls getting saved in the spiritual nature, Father, of the blessings. And yet, God, we still need you. And so as we come before you in the Lord's Supper, we ask you to cleanse us from all, as a church, from all unrighteousness. That, Father, the things that needs to be put away will be put away. That, Father, you will install the spirit of your love among our members and the oneness of heart in thy word, that we will stand strong, Father, firmly on the foundation of Christ. We thank you now, Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We ask you to strengthen our resolve to band together by your spirit and your love for the ministry you've called us to, for the mutual encouragement and edification, and Lord, for growth, and Father, ultimately for every believer to come to a oneness of the faith, understanding your will and then obedient to it. We thank you for what you're going to do. Be with us as we just partake the Lord's Supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.